Oh, we're gonna go high. We're gonna go high. Oh, we're going into the throne room this morning. Oh, God. Going higher, going higher, going higher. Going higher, going higher, going higher. Take a moment now and look around with your spiritual eyes. Take a moment now, says the Lord, and look around with your spiritual eyes. Oh, open their eyes, oh God. Open their eyes, oh God, that they can see where we're going. Open their eyes, oh God, so they can see how many are with us. How many are with us? How many are with us? Open their eyes, oh God. Open their spiritual eyes, oh Lord, so they can see how many are with us. The heavenly host. The heavenly host, says the Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord, open our eyes, oh God, that we can see. That we can see, oh God, open our spiritual eyes, open our spiritual ears. The Lord has had me studying adversity for some time now. And I feel like He is wanting us to know that much of the adversity that we are facing has come from Him. Just as a parent frustrates their child by not giving them everything they want, the Lord has brought a holy frustration from some of you so that you would grow and mature. Prosperity, in the time of prosperity, be joyful. But in a time of adversity, consider, God made one as well as the other. Many people, because we call Satan the adversary, many people think any resistance comes from the enemy. But what kind of children would we have if we never resisted their wants? If you give a child everything it wants, it becomes entitled, correctly? Correct? That's what happens, correct? So the Lord spoke to me and He said, adversity is my mercy. Embrace it and learn from it, because that's where we're going to grow. That's where we're going to internalize the holy character of God. We cry out for revival, but we walk in iniquity. We cry out for a move of God to change our city, and yet we can't turn off the television or put our phone down. Now, I feel that the Spirit of the Lord is saying that the adversity, and honestly, it's not even, I feel like He said it's not a whole lot of adversity yet, but even the adversity we have faced, we have looked at it as the enemy. God said, adversity is not your enemy, it is my mercy. He's wanting us to internalize His character. If we want the character of Christ, suffering is involved, folks. It is part of the package. He drank of a cup of suffering. He didn't want to, but He did it because He loves us. He wanted that cup to pass, but it was God's will. And He is our example, correct? Jesus is our example. We don't like that part. We don't want that cup of suffering, but I really feel like the Lord is saying, drink deep of the cup of suffering. Drink deeply. Drink deeply, Jack. Drink deeply, Helen. drink deeply from the cup of suffering, brothers and sisters. When we do this, then we internalize the character of Christ. Then you don't have to pray and ask for revival. You become revival. You become revival. Yes? Now, he told me today he wanted me to prophesy that the rain of heaven would begin to fall, so I did that some earlier in the service. And then he told me he wanted us to do this song from Psalm 46, which is a declaration of his greatness. It's a declaration of his authority, his exousia, power and authority. So God, right now, I believe that from what you have told me, Lord, that you are going to usher us into your holy place this morning. Before we sing this, let's repent, because you don't go into the Holy of Holies with your mess unrepented for. So God, right now, we come before you, Lord, repenting for any sins known or unknown. Anything, if you find any wicked way in us, wicked being idols, we now repent for those idols right now, Lord. And we just say, oh God, that you would forgive us our sins. God, that you would take us into your Holy of Holies, Lord. That you would wash us clean, God, so that we can go into your Holy of Holies, Lord, and communion with you this day. God, that we can internalize the holiness of God. God, that you make important to us what is important to you. That we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. That we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. God, that just as the kiln is holding all of the pottery and has to be left in there until the proper heat to be strong, the furnace of affliction that we are in currently and going into, we say right now in the name of Jesus that we will stay in the furnace of affliction, Lord, until you see fit to bring us out as vessels of honor. God, we thank you that you love us enough, Lord, to deliver the afflicted by their affliction, and that adversity will open the ears of your people. I thank you, God, for your goodness and for your faithfulness and for your mercy and for your grace. But now I thank you, Lord, that you are giving us the strength to stand in affliction, that you are strengthening us in the fire of affliction, so that we can then stand when others fall. So that we can then have the strength to hold up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And not only do that, Lord, but take a hand and save one by one the fish that you've called us to pull from the water, Lord. So now, what I feel like God is saying right now is that the preparation, this is all preparation that we're going through for the harvest that is to come. The furnace of affliction has to come first. The burning away must come first. So God, we ask that you would receive our offering of praise this morning. He's told me to do this praise song, and this is how we're ending worship now. Keith, if you would.
Spear and tells the wars to cease. to speak. The boughs and all the mountains move into the sea. Oh Lord, you know the hearts of men, and still you let them live. Oh God, who makes the mountains mount, come wrestle us and win. Oh God, who makes the mountains mount, come wrestle us and win. Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire, with us as the shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? Oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves, makes my heart be still. The earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage. I know my God is in control. Oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves, makes my heart be still. The earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage. I know my God is in control. With us in the fire, with us as the shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go with the Lord of hosts? With us in the fire, with us as the shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts?
Come on, just begin to give him praise out of your innermost being. Come on, we declare you're good. We declare you are good, Lord. You are faithful. Your mercies endure forever. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Let your throne be established in the United States of America, Lord. Righteousness and justice. 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 Lord, we say that those were the foundations of your throne, and they are also the foundations of this nation. We say righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice, Lord. Righteousness and justice. We decree and declare that your truth is marching on. I hear the phrase, your truth is marching on, Lord. In the United States of America, his truth is marching on. Soldiers of the cross are arising. soldiers of the cross are arising. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Yes, we thank you that Christian soldiers are arising, marching, Lord. You are raising up a generation of warriors. Righteousness and justice. Warriors of righteousness and justice. Warriors of righteousness and justice. We say let justice be released over this nation right now, Lord. Let the hidden things be manifested in this nation right now, God. Justice in this nation, Lord. Justice. We say in this next season, in the month of August, we say justice is coming to the United States of America, God. We say justice is coming. Righteousness and justice. Right now we declare the justice of heaven coming into the situation of every person in this room. Where they have been wronged, where things have been stolen, we say the justice of heaven is being released. In the month of August, Lord, we say restitution and recompense and justice. Recompense and justice in August, Lord. Recompense and justice. I'm telling you now, in the month of August, stuff is going to begin to come back. The enemy's got to pay recompense. It's going to come back multiplied times over. I'm telling you, you need to begin to decree it and claim it now. Come on, I'm telling you, you don't get back what you lost. You get back more than you lost. We say justice. Shout justice. Come on, I want you to shout justice. Justice is coming. Justice is being released in the courtrooms of heaven. I tell you this right now. Yes, justice is being released in the courtrooms of heaven. Come on, begin to shout. I want you to just begin to dance before the Lord here for a few minutes. Come on, you got to dance like justice has already happened. Come on, I want you to begin to dance. Dance like it's already done. Justice is coming into your situation. Yes. Yeah, dance upon injustice. Dance upon injustice. Dance upon injustice. Dance upon injustice. Come on, let's see it. Dance on injustice. We're going to dance on every injustice. We're going to dance on injustice. Yes. Come on, you're dancing on injustice. Yeah, come on, let that go. Come on, dance on injustice. In Bluefield, Lord, we say we're dancing on injustice. We say every unrighteous, unholy thing that's in this city, we say that justice is coming in this city, God. Justice, Lord, is coming. Dancers that dance upon injustice will be assembled, Lord, in this city. They'll come from the north, south, east, and west. Dancers are coming, God. Dancers are coming, Lord. Come on, the dancers are coming. Come on, you know this is our last day in this building. Come on, we need to go out of here with a shout of victory. Praise be to the Lord, for He has done great things. He has done great things. Come on, I'm telling you, dancers are coming. Yeah. dancing upon injustice, Lord. Dancing upon injustice.
During prayer, right over here, I saw the Lord, and he was taking off the grave clothes. He was taking the grave clothes off. They were, he was twirling it, and it was falling off. It was falling off, and I declare a decree over this house. Every single grave clothes is coming off. We are going into a new building. It's a new season. It's a new day. The old must go. The old must go. I declare every old mindset must go in the name of Jesus. Everything that has hindered, everything that has stopped and blocked, that has been a block, it's going to unfold. That hose is going to be free and clear in the name of Jesus. God, we repent right now of every sin we've committed against you. We repent. I repent on behalf of my own sins, transgressions, and iniquities. God, I ask that you cleanse us. Give us clean hands and a pure heart, oh God. I ask, oh God, in this new season, in this new day, God, that you take a hold of us by your hand and that you lead us and guide us. You are our front and rear guard. God, I ask that you so guide us. And I ask, God, that this house be pleasing unto you. I say, be pleasing unto the Lord this day. If there's something in your life right now, lay it down, lay it down. There's no time to play. There's no time to play. And I thank you, God. It's holiness. This house will be holy unto you. They anointed the utensils of the temple. And it said, holiness unto the Lord. I declare this house will be holy unto the Lord, righteous and pure before him.
Yes, Lord, we bless your name. We bless you, Lord.
I would like for all the children and all the youth to come forward up here in this area. And as we were dancing upon injustice, I just saw our youth and our children beginning to dance before the Lord. You guys may not understand fully what's happening, but this is an outward declaration of what the Lord wants to do through you and your generation. Right now, your generation is under an assault, an attack of the enemy, which it always has been, but even more so now. So many lines have been blurred and crossed, and they want to instill confusion, identity, crises, and just, I would like for our children, our youth, to come forward, and if you guys could play, and we're going to dance, and we're going to dance, heck, we may even march, I don't even know, we may even march, because you guys are the next generation coming. You all are going to step out into that next season, exactly where you're at. And you're going to take the Spirit of the Lord with you. And that Spirit and that truth is going to march on. It's going to be a beacon of light and hope to your generation. Please understand that you can make a difference right now where you are in this moment. As soon as you walk out that door, you carry the name of Jesus. You are a child of the Most High King. Therefore, His grace and His presence is upon you. And He walk where you walk, He will be with you. Take Him with you. Know that you are a world changer. When you go out there, you can stand up for what's real. You can stand up for the truth. And we're going to declare that. We're going to declare the love of the Lord, the love of Jesus in our hearts, and to go before us, and that the Lord would be our rear guard.
Give them something to dance to. Lord, we break this ugly thing off of boys and men that makes them not want to express worship. We say let their feet be turned into dancing feet right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that they're not afraid to dance before you. Dancing upon injustice, Lord. Dancing on injustice. Dancing on injustice. Dancing on injustice. Generational things, Lord, they will dance on it. Abuse, sexual abuse in this region, they will dance on it, Lord. Poverty, they will dance on it, Lord. They will dance on every injustice. Lord, we ask you now to cause a Davidic anointing to come upon every child in this place, Lord. Fire shut up in their bones. We say let fire begin to come upon them. Right now, Lord, we thank you for deliverance right now from generational curses. We say as they dance, Lord, deliver them from generational curses. We thank you for it, Lord, right now, that you would release a whirlwind. Cause this generation to be a whirlwind. A whirlwind is coming, God. And we bless you, we honor you, Father. We say, let your anointing come upon them. Let your anointing come upon them, Lord. Let your anointing come upon the children of this house. May they multiply. Lord, we say children's conferences coming out of this house. Conferences just focused on children coming out of this place, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that the equipping of not just adults, but children. Equipping of a generation of children. Equipping of children at another level in this place, Lord. This be a prophetic picture to you. A mighty army's beginning to march. A mighty army's beginning to march. Yes. So, Lord, we just bless the children right now, Lord, as they go to their classes. We say out of this group there will be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and world changers and world shakers. Lord, we thank you that there are even people in this group that are called to serve in the political, governmental arena. Lord, we thank you for apostles and prophets in the marketplace and in the government. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to breathe upon the children and the youth of this house, that there will be a mighty, mighty, mighty force in the earth. We thank you for it, Lord, from here to the nations. We thank you, Lord, for a generation in this house that will touch the nations of the earth. We thank you for your anointing, for your protection. Let a hedge of protection be placed over every child right now, Lord. Let a hedge of protection and a fiery wall surround them to protect them from the enemy. Right now, I pray for a wall of fire around these children right now, that the enemy's plans cannot come to pass in their life. A wall of fire around them, Lord. a wall of fire around them, Lord. Come on, give the Lord praise. You can be dismissed. A wall of fire. Come on, give the Lord praise. Give Him praise in this place. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your praise. Well, I want to give you a chance to sow this morning. Thank you for being here. If it's your first time here, we bless you. We honor you. Thank you for being with us. Good to see my brother back here that I met yesterday. I've never had anybody come and use a jackhammer before they ever came to church before. But this brother back here, just raise your hand there, brother. He was out using a jackhammer on the sidewalk yesterday. Doug Brown. Doug was down using a jackhammer on the building yet at the sidewalk yesterday, and he's never even been to church with us. So maybe that's a sign from God that the workers are coming. They're willing to work before they even, you know, experience what's in the house. So we bless him. Bless you for being here. If you want to, if you are a visitor, you want to give, you can make it out, make a check out to Father's house. Father, we thank you for every need in this house being met. Lord, we thank you that we lend and we don't borrow. Lord, we thank you that we'll have more than enough to do the things that you've called us to do, not only here, Lord, but in the nations of the earth. We thank you, Lord, that you cause us not to only impact this place, but impact the nations. So we bless this offering. We bless this tithe. We say, Lord, meet every need, not only of the house, but of the people in it, in Jesus' name. As they pass that, I want to bring Morgan up, and Taylor too, if she's not, didn't leave. Morgan is taking a position in, where at? Grundy as a youth. It's not a church, but it's a they want to develop a youth center. So we want to bless Morgan. It's Morgan's intent to still be part of our fellowship here. But we want to just speak blessing over him. Father, we ask right now for your blessing to rest upon Morgan. We ask for a hedge of protection to be placed around his life. Lord, we ask that the grace of God would just guard him, guard his heart, his mind. Lord, we ask that he would have eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, we pray that his steps would be ordered of you. And Lord, that you would cause a hedge of protection and cause your presence to be a shield round about him. Cause him to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for you being a consuming fire around him, that you would protect him, that you would guard him. And Lord, we ask that you would let your favor and your blessing rest upon his life and Taylor's life. Lord, we thank you that you would order their steps divinely. And we just bless you for them. Bless Morgan for his sowing into this house and his faithfulness to this house. And Lord, I just pray that you would cause vision, cause his eyes to see as never before, cause his ears to hear as never before, and cause the blessing of the Lord to come upon his life. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We speak blessing over him in the name of Jesus Christ. God is good. Amen. Somebody got announcements to make? You don't? Well, see, when I forget you, you have them. When I don't forget you, you don't have them. I will tell you this. I was supposed to do this a month ago. I didn't. But I know that the mandate upon my life is not to do ministry, but to raise up ministers. Tonight, I'm doing a mentor group, and this group, I believe I sent out some letters. Sounds like some of you didn't get them, but If you're called to ministry, if you know you're called to ministry, we believe everybody's called to ministry around here. But if you feel that there's a calling, fivefold ministry possibly, that type of thing, I definitely want to begin to raise those people up and pour into them. And anybody can come to this, however, because you may not have discovered your calling yet. But if you want to come and learn and you love to learn, I would invite you to come out at 6 o'clock this evening. But I want to begin to pour into the people that I believe God wants to use in a greater manner, even in pulpit ministry, that type of thing. And what I will begin to do with that is utilize those people. See, what we tend to do is somebody has a gift and they want to preach or something, and we say, have fun, preach. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to raise up leaders and pour into them. And I believe that's the number one mandate in my life as we move forward, is to raise up ministers. And hello, who's buzzing? I normally don't hear that buzzing, so somebody's buzzing. Just gonna mess with me. But anyway, if you want to be mentored and trained, there are a lot of people here right now. We could leave. You know what God is doing among elders in the house. The truth of the matter is, we could leave and there'd still be plenty of people to speak, because the Lord is sending ministers here. And, you know, we want to train them, equip them, prepare them for what the Lord has called them to do. And if you want to be in that number, please do. Those people who are faithful to be trained will be the people who will be used in the ministry. Just keep that in mind. If you want to do something and you have never shown any effort to get trained, if you can't pay the price to get trained, you will not be faithful to do ministry. Just keep that in mind. So, but I would encourage you to come, because I want to really begin to pour into that group of people on a regular basis. We'll have some more about that. Well, as I told you, this is our last week here. Next week we'll be in Brush Fork, and which means this week, are you breathing? Say, I'm breathing. We're probably going to need your help in some capacity. We're really pretty close, though, to having most construction-type things done, but there will be a whole lot of cleaning and organizing this week. This is Mr. Clean's Army Week. So we're going to need your help to move forward, and there'll be a lot of that going on this week. So if you come here next week, you won't see anybody, except the other person that didn't know it and send them parking lot. So you just get with them and bring them to other direction. We want a couple of weeks to, before our event Fire in the Mountains, to get some bugs worked out, get things ready. So the presence of the Lord has been in here today. You know, if these walls could talk, they'd tell a whole lot of stories. We have seen so many things here, from the Bluefield Renewal breaking out, many, many, many other things. And God has been faithful. And it's only the beginning of what He plans to do. So anyway, I began talking to you a couple weeks ago about God raising up an army. And I'm going to do a little review of that, but I want to go farther into it with you. Ephesians 5:27 says that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So the point is that I was making is God is producing a church that is without spot or wrinkle. Now Tony sort of touched on this a little bit this morning. This shirt I have on is cotton. Some people like them. I hate them. They're all pretty when they're hanging on the rack. But when you get them rascals home and you spend about 15 minutes ironing them and they still look the same, and you think it's right, and you drive to church, and by the time you get out of your car, it looks like you never even touched it. Do you know that's a picture of the church?
Yeah.
But he said he's coming after one without spot or wrinkle.
Yes.
How you get wrinkles out? This one looks fairly decent today, but you know what I had to do with it? I had to put some heat on it. See, so if the church is going to be without spot or wrinkle, there's going to have to be, I've noticed two things that get out spots and wrinkles. Heat and stretching. You can also stretch. That's all you're doing when you get that wrinkle release stuff. You just spray it on there and you stretch it. That's all you're doing. So if we're going to be a church without spot or wrinkle, we're going to have to take some heat and get some stretching. Well, the problem with that is nobody likes that. So we build a church that makes everybody feel good all the time and nobody ever gets challenged. But see, when an apostolic church, a church that wants to raise up leaders begins to be established, there's going to be heat and there's going to be stressing. And if you can't take the heat, you know what you do? You get out the kitchen. So there's a lot of people that don't understand the role that apostolic grace and apostolic houses have, and they're to put you in the fire and to stretch you. But see, here's what I've noticed. A lot of people don't want to do that, but the ones who stay, they get stretched and they come through fire. And then they say, 6 months later, I've learned more in the last 6 months than I've learned, and I've been serving the Lord for 25 years. Why is that? A different mindset of how the people in the seats are viewed from the leadership of the house. See, we're not looking to make members. And see, here's where we went. Paul did not talk to Timothy like a member. Paul didn't talk to Timothy like a church member. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So if we begin to truly understand the body of Christ, we've got to understand that it's supposed to be a military unit. Do you know that how the Lord is referred to more than any other way in Scripture? The Lord of... That's not a multitude of people, that's army. It literally means his number one title is Lord of Armies. God is a military God. And we've been functioning in the church as civilians. We've raised up a civilian church for a warrior God. Hello. I said we've raised up a civilian church for a warrior God. He is the Lord of Armies. He is a military-minded being. So with that being said, we are so far away from what he intended the church to be. He intended the church to be an army. And if there's an army, then you're going to have to go through a process. And that process starts with boot camp. And like I told you, I wanted to show you a video on that, still going to at some point. But we've got to change our mindset. We all pray about harvest. Oh, Lord, send the harvest. It would be the biggest waste of his time to send harvest to us. Because we've not organized like a military unit. We couldn't handle it. See, if we're going to really see harvest in Bluefield and in this region, we first have to begin to have generals, apostles, begin to raise up. And see, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a commanding force within the elders be established here for the purpose of raising up soldiers, not raising up church members. But we're praying about harvest, and God can't send us harvest. If he sent 100 souls to be saved tomorrow, we would be in trouble. But yet we're asking him to do so. So before we can have him send harvest, we have to begin to organize ourselves with a military mindset. And we're so far away from that. And that's what I wanted to show you in the video. You can't even handle somebody telling you what to do. But we're going to win the world. Until you are okay with somebody barking in your ear. Stop! I'm going to another church. There's no love in that church.
Yeah.
Well, you talk to somebody that's been in the military. See, they're the first encounter they have with a drill sergeant, he wasn't trying to make them like him. From the minute they get off of that bus, he has one thing in mind: changing them from a civilian to a soldier. Now, I told you this last week, they're not even got off there. Look, they don't even let them get off the bus. They're sitting on the bus. The last peace of mind they had was when they were pulling into the parking lot. Because they're on the bus and somebody jumps up and says, starts yelling at them. They're still in the seat. Basically, I watched it this morning. Here's the message. Your life is over when you step off of this bus. You are no longer a human being.
Right.
You will begin to become a U.S. Marine. You will begin to become a soldier. Whether you know it or not, when you step off this bus, you're dying. Your life is over. It's done.
Yeah.
Where's the gospel message of that? The gospel message in the church is, oh, brother, if you'll just come to Jesus, pray this little prayer after me, and your life will be so wonderful. And you can sin all you want to sin still yet, but you'll still go to heaven if you pray this little prayer with me. You really think he's coming after that? He's not coming for that. He's coming for soldiers. And he's establishing leadership within his church. You know how the Lord's going to get wrinkles out of his bride? By using drill sergeants in his kingdom. What is a disciple? See, we know about members, but we don't know about disciples. The basis of the word discipline is disciple. So when you get off the bus, you ever stop to ask yourself why they do all that marching and stuff? What's the intent? The intent is to get them to hear the voice of someone telling them what to do. I said, the very first thing that begins to happen is somebody yelling at them what to do, and all of the marching, left, 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 right, left, all of that is about getting them to obey commands. But yet we have a church that don't even want to be told what to do. If we get told what to do, we take our ties down the road. But see, we stay in immaturity. If you took boot camp out of the military, there would never be soldiers. From the time you get off the bus, it's over for you. And you can bet many people are saying, I love my mommy. Life wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Oh, can I go back, please? Can I go back? We've been raising civilians in the house of the Lord. And we're supposed to be making soldiers. Soldiers are not sissies. But the first thing they have to learn, if we break it down to the simplest form, is it not true? The first thing you have to learn is be able to get yelled at without talking back. I said yelled at without talking back. How could you do that? Why would the drill sergeant yell at you? Is it because he doesn't like you? No, he's trying to make you a soldier. Because, like she said, that's absolutely true. He's trying to keep you alive. Because your enemy's not going to say, now I just want to let you know, I'm getting ready to shoot at you. So, folks, I'm being humorous. Do you know that's how the church is? We think we've got an enemy out there that says, now I'm just going to tell you, get ready. Trouble's coming on Tuesday at 12. I'll go ahead and give you forewarning. So so when we begin to get around strong apostolic leadership that kicks us in the seat of the pants every now and then, we think that's strange. That's really not strange. That's someone who's trying to understand the revelation of being a soldier, not being a church member. We are so spoiled. 95% of the church will backslide when the hell that comes upon the earth is getting ready to come. You really think that you can resist the mark? You can't go without dinner for an hour. Come on, I'm not trying to be rough here, but you get that. We are so living in such a fantasy realm. We don't know trouble in America. Even the people that ain't got money got money. Folks, we're not prepared. We're not prepared. And I fully believe the Lord is establishing houses just like this one to begin to be tough on a group of people. To begin to get them to think like soldiers, not think like civilians. Because I promise you, war is coming and it ain't here yet because your party didn't win.
That's right. That's right.
Come on. Trouble's coming.
Yes.
And unless there is a military type soldier church that arises... And see, here's the vision that the Lord is trying to establish. He's actually trying to establish embassies and bases across America.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's good. Yes. Come on.
Filled with soldiers. Yes. So when tragedy comes to the nation, guess where they come to? 1860 Coal Heritage Highway, Bluefield, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Why do they come there? Because there's food stacked everywhere. Because there's soap and lotion and showers. Because it begins to function like a military base or an embassy type thing. An embassy, when you get there, you know the laws of the country you're in. If you can just get to the embassy, it doesn't matter.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
If you can just step on the property of your embassy, then you're the same as in your country. So we have got to, and see, how do you become a soldier? Tony said it. You don't want to know the last 20 years of my life. You don't want to know the last 20 years of our life. It's called hardship. But if you do not endure hardship, you will never be a soldier. So from the time you get on the bus, when you step off, they're going to start making it hard on you. We leave when people make it hard on us, folks. We do.
Yes, yes, yes.
We want to go to the Kumbaya church.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to get you to see that we've got to think like soldiers. Because if real trouble comes on the earth, we're not in position. And see, in America, we have an issue. We depend on the government. We're so used to the government taking care of our every need that we can't imagine a time when the government is broke. It's really broke and been broke for years. But we can't imagine them not being able to help us. So the church won't be in position. And what I'm trying to say is we've got to begin to think like soldiers so we're in position that when the government can't do it, we can do it. We need to have all the resources and all the things that people normally get from government. We need to have it. And the only way we're going to do that is to become soldiers. Hello? So, I think we're missing something in Scripture. We function like civilians. And Paul talked to Timothy about being a soldier. He talked to him about hardness. And again, that's not come to Jesus and everything will be sweet in your life. It's not going to be sweet all the time.
I love that.
And see, but here's the problem.
Yes.
If I look back over the last 20 years and the hardness that my wife and I have endured, you know one thing I know? I'm not a sissy.
Yes. Come on.
It'll take more than you saying you don't like me to get me in the fetal position.
Yes.
I don't ball up on the couch when people leave.
because I've been through something that's not even in comparison to. But see, we all want to be a soldier, but we don't want to go through the soldier's process.
Right.
And here's what usually happens. You get revelation of a mighty call from God. Oh, I was in my room and he just came.
Yeah.
And he said, "Thou art my son."
Yeah.
Oh, I've called you to do great things. Yeah. And what you just did is got on the bus.
Amen. Amen.
It won't be long till Paris Island will be your destination. I'm helping somebody in here.
You
really think he's going to use us to change nations and not make a soldier out of us? And you can't be a soldier without going through something hard. I went here last week. I won't go there much, but you can look at 2 Corinthians 11:22, and Paul said, "I'm an apostle. Here's why. I've endured hardness. I've been beaten. I've been robbed. Everything's happened to me." So we got all these people, Apostle Fred and Apostle Bill. No, I think not, sir. 20-some years old, wet behind the ears, thinking you're an apostle or prophet. When you say you're an apostle or prophet, tell me your hardness for 20 or 15 or 20 or 25 years. I won't even begin to listen to you and tell me how your life has been hell for 20 years. Because you don't qualify. They don't make generals. See, an apostle is a general. You can compare the fivefold ministry, especially an apostle in many aspects, to the path of a soldier. You don't become a general having never fought. You really want to be an apostle and you've never fought? Really? See, they don't make generals. Generals become generals because they won some battles.
Come on.
But yet we want to make people that just because maybe we see they have the calling to be that. But I can't put you in charge of anything. Let's get into some mentor training before we even get there. I can't put you in charge of anything because you haven't conquered anything. There ain't been enough hell in your life for me to trust you.
Amen.
When you've got scars, we'll talk about your leadership position.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
When you've been gutted and broken.
Yes, God.
And been through boot camp. If you can't write me a story and tell me the place that you became broken in your life, you're probably not ready for great things yet. Hello.
Hello.
Now, I do believe that houses like this can teach you in such a way that you avoid some things.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I had to go through everything I've been through. I went through the things I went through because I was an orphan and a bastard. And most of your problems in your life is not about it ain't the devil. I believe if I'd have had the right relationships in my life and listened to them, they could have probably helped me.
Yes, God.
Now, let me see another way I know about this thing. I'm thankful that I didn't. You know that? I'm very thankful that I didn't, for two reasons. One, I can teach you.
That's right.
And number two, I'm a different person. Never trust a leader who's not been through something. Never trust a leader who just got out of seminary and they said, "Whoop, pastor friend." Do you understand what I'm saying? I know I'm spending a lot of time here, but I need you to begin to think differently. Have to think differently. And so we often want God to let us do what generals do, but we haven't even been through boot camp. And how I know is, all us as a governmental team, as an eldership team, all we have to do is tell you something you don't like and you're gone. But you want to be a general in God's army?
Make it plain.
Now, none of us like to be told what to do.
Come on.
That's why we get married, so the Lord can work on that part of us. Just felt like doing it all of a sudden. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
If you really took marriage and broke it down to its simplest form, it's all about two individuals butting heads to see which one's going to be in authority. Welcome to marriage. That's what it is. It's a fight. Same thing going on in the church. So why do they start yelling at you as soon as you get off? You haven't even got off the bus. They're trying to teach you something that we just can't get in the church. Follow the voice of leadership. And we're not even ready to step into anywhere in leadership ourselves until we understand that. So they start doing all this marching. And Bubba, he's marching, and Bubba didn't. The whole point of marching is to get you to listen to the voice of someone and follow it. Because when bombs are flying over your head, the one thing you better be able to do is hear and listen.
That's right.
Run!
That's right. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. I'll run when I want to run.
Ow! So the first step of becoming a soldier is to listen to the voice of a commander and respond accordingly. So sometimes when marching, Bubba didn't hear the command. So the whole group is going this way, and Bubba's going. And all of a sudden he looks around and goes, Bubba feels like a fool. And the way I understand it, they'll let Bubba away with that for a few times. I'm trying to get you to see something. See, you might get away with something for a while, but when you truly begin to enter into mentor relationship and the relationship of true fathers and mothers, they're not going to, when you, they'll let you make that mistake for a while, and then they'll pull you to the side and they'll say, blue, blue, blue. But the next time that you don't do it after they've told you three times, that conversation's not going to be, now, honey, I told you. They'll give them room to mess up for a little bit. But sooner or later, they're going to say, this is the third time you've done this, sir. Go scrub toilets or drink toilet water. I don't know, but. Scrubbed what? Swept a parking lot with a toothbrush. And you want to talk to me about your church. You want to talk to me about your sweet pastor. He scrubbed a parking lot with a toothbrush. Soldier. So, you've got to begin to understand that you're going to have to endure some hardness to accomplish anything in the body of Christ. And what we have right now in the church, I believe, is we have a whole lot of people getting promoted that endured no hardness. And when hardness comes, that big platform they built is going to crash because they don't know how to maintain. But see, if you come up through the boot camp and you come up through the hard things and you've endured hardness, it'll take a little bit more than just a puff of wind to knock you off. You know what the greatest thing the Lord's ever done for me? Never promoted me. Never stuck me on a platform. And believe me, I could be on one right now. Could be anywhere I wanted to be. One relationship. TV, all over the earth. Running with people that I have in sometimes in my life even idolized. And if they'd have came knocking 10 or 15 years ago, I thought, oh my God, I really get to go do ministry with this person. This person's a hero of mine. Give me a break. One of the first lessons you have to understand is if you will esteem someone else's flesh, you will esteem your own, and you cannot qualify. If you look at men and women in the body of Christ as superstars and heroes, and I can't believe I just got to be in the same room with this person, you're wasting your time. And see, the Lord had to kill that. So now when I had opportunity to do that, I said, mm-mm. Their heart's not right. I'm not going that direction. Are you hearing me? So I want to show you the life. Let's look at a little bit of the life of a soldier. Boot camp is the first step, and we covered a lot of that. Why is boot camp so tough? You have to train 18-year-olds to run to the sound of gunfire and perform under fire and threat of death. You have to run, teach them to run to fire, not from it. Hello? So sometimes, when we've not gone through this process, when fire comes, we run from it. But when you know you're maturing is when you run to it, not from it. Then you're becoming a soldier. And so I think the process that we've seen in our own lives, do you know we've gotten used to not having enough money? We've gotten used to not knowing whether the bills will be paid or not. My Lord sent kids to private school for years with no more amount of money to do it than a goose. Hello?
Yes, hello.
See, you, to become a soldier, you've got to get used to those kinds of things. You have to. So you train 18-year-olds to run to the sound of gunfire, not from it. When you thought you heard gunfire down there, where'd you run?
Right. That's right.
You hear gunfire, you're going to run from it. Now, I said this to you last week. The most important thing to know about boot camp is that it is 100% designed to reprogram children and civilians into warriors. Now, what am I talking to you about in this message? We've got to be reprogrammed. If we want to go from a civilian to a soldier, the first thing starts with reprogramming. And I believe the first part of reprogramming that we start to get is, it's not all about me. I'm not going to get my wants anymore. I'm not going to get what I want anymore. The Army's going to own me. The Marines are going to own me. I can't go get potato chips when I want to get potato chips. Guess what? They let them make a phone call. As soon as they get there, they get to make a phone call back home. And they can't say, Mom, I miss you. I'm fine. No, they give them a script and that's all they can say. And in that script, they've changed their identity. They don't say, this is your son. They now speak as a soldier. It's not casual. From the time they get off the bus, it's no longer casual. Y'all got big eyes. It places within them a sense that they are expected to do important things. This is all happening during one of the most intensely stressful periods of your life. If you have gone through something that has gut-wrenched you and the stress and the pressure on you is more than you can almost bear, he's in it. He's making a soldier, see. Most intensely stressful periods, when you are kept isolated from contact with your family and friends, and taught that everything you were before entering the Marines was weak and lacking any real value until you are a Marine. Now, that sounds extreme. But what about Apostle Paul? He said, I count it as dung. Everything that I held value in my life, I consider it as dung that I may please him. That's the mindset of a soldier. So being a soldier first requires you to reprogram your thinking. And part of that, again, the training of a soldier is first psychological. And I believe that one of the things is to change our response. When you begin to grow, your response changes. You know you've grown when something that used to really get you in bad shape doesn't do it anymore. You know you've grown then. Have you ever had that happen? Last time you saw Bubba at Walmart, all he had to do was speak to you and you told him off. And this time you run into him again and all of a sudden you're like, it doesn't even affect you. Guess what happened? You grew. You've been reprogrammed in your mind. Now, Scripture says in Jeremiah 12:5, and I believe this is so key to where we are in the church. He says, if you have run with the footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down and if there's a prophetic word to the church in America, I believe I'm releasing it right now. If you fall down in a land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? Hello? If you fall down in the land of peace, what will you do when you really face fire? And see, that's where I fully believe, God wants to prosper you. I don't disagree with any of the prosperity teaching. I believe it's in the Word of God. But I believe if you dwell in that place and you don't put the rest of the words in the body of Christ together with it, you'll be in shipwreck. Because all it'll take is for it not to work and your money to be gone, and then you don't love Jesus anymore. Are you hearing me? Another thing that is important now, when we get into the military, is everything that the military does is for a purpose. A rehearsed, manufactured, and engineered purpose. It is about something else entirely. Now, I told you this last week. Best example, wax on, wax off. And see, when you come in with your mighty gift to the house of God, when you come in talking about how good you sing, they might say, you know, I really have a toilet that needs plunged. Go plunge a toilet. And see, what the tendency would be is to think, well, but that's not my calling. I didn't come here to clean toilets, I came here to sing. But see, what we don't understand, everything that the military has you doing serves a purpose. And whether you realize it or not, you're being trained. So when you begin to get into an atmosphere where the focus is to raise you up as a leader, you'll be asked to do some things that you think have nothing to do with what you're called to do. But trust me, behind the scenes it has a purpose. You're being watched. You're being tested. Marching is designed. The first step to forming the nature of a soldier is to change our natural response to commands from no to yes, sir. Now, who's going to get promoted in Father's house? Those who have learned their response to not be no, but yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. If you can't be told what to do, then you're not going to get promoted. And one of the reasons we usually think that we don't listen to who the Lord's put in place over is we think we know more than they do. I could have a flea market on the shirts I got from that. No, you don't know more than they do. You never paid the price they paid. You might know more in your head. You might have read more study. You might have studied how to do it more, but you don't know anything about the grace. So the first thing a soldier has to learn is to change from no to yes, sir. If we could just do that, there would be an army raised up in the church that would just do wonders. But that's a key. I need you to understand that. Because human nature is no. And after no is, I want to tell you something. I've been around Larry Jackson a long time. And some of these things I learned there, but let me ask you this. You know what your number one thing is when a leader tells you to do something? What's the number one thing that happens in your head? What comes to your mind? Somebody tell me. Why? Oh, why? Why are we doing this left, right, left, right? Why are we doing it? Why? I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense. I came here to be a soldier, and I'm going left, right, left, right. Has a purpose. See, we have to shift our thinking from no and why to just doing it. Now, folks, we don't like this. We got rebel in our blood. We are hillbilly, redneck, shotgun-toting, rebellious people, and it's hindering us in the body of Christ because we still got it in our blood. I've told you, I is a Hatfield, as in Devil Ants. It's my family. It's my bloodline. It's my people. It's the whole community I grew up in. I'm from Mingo County. What's the nickname for Mingo County? Not Happy Mingo, Bloody Mingo. So when you begin to get into the church and you got that in your DNA, it's very easy for you to say, "Oh, why? Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do," and you're never gonna walk in your destiny either. Because to become a soldier, you have to shift from no to yes, sir. And some of us right now are in that place. That's all God's trying to get out of us, to change our no to yes, sir. This one's tough right here because he'll just keep you right there. He won't let you go. Somebody's trying to go, always be telling you what to do. And if you're not allowing someone to tell you what to do, you'll never walk in purpose. You'll never get to tell somebody else what to do until you understand walking in what they tell you to do. That's just a fact. There's two ways to get into the military. You can enter by choice. You can get drafted, or you can enlist. Some people, they just know they're a soldier, and it's just in them, and they just, "I'm going to be a soldier," and they know it from in the eighth grade. You know, and that's the way it is in God's army. Guess what I'm doing right now? The same thing I was doing when I was 2 and 5 and 6 and 8. I'm doing the same thing. I didn't have to get drafted. But some people become soldiers. They get drafted, or sometimes circumstances drive you to become a soldier. I went to Charlotte, North Carolina to be great. Because all the great anointing is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Morningstar, Mahesh Ambani Shabda, Larry Jackson. They're just everywhere. And I'm going to go there and they're going to recognize my awesome gift. And I died. I lost my house. I lost my car. I was worshiping the Lord and came home and the car was gone. And I'm like, "Where's my car?" I had my water turned off. And I saw my kids and my wife crying over the hell they were in. And I know the feeling of not being, of having to look at that family and not be able to explain to that kid why she doesn't have water. Some of y'all are looking like, and you think it's sweet that we're, what we're getting ready to step into. Hey, baby doll, there's a reason we're about ready to step where we're about ready to step. You better understand that. But you want to be in ministry. Ministry. Everything is great in ministry. Sometimes life forces you to be a soldier. The trouble that you face causes something to rise up on the inside of you. And you become something. I feel Jesus all right now. And that's when you stand and you look back down the road. And you say, "My God, it was hell." But all of a sudden you look back down the road and you say, "I wouldn't even change it if I could. Thank you, Lord, for Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you, Lord, for unhooked water. Thank you, Lord." See, I can open this door right here and show you. When we walked into this place a long time ago, look at that beautiful floor right there. Black and white checkerboard floor. And I walked in here and said, "Ain't no way." And now, years and years later, are you hearing me? If you're not willing to pay the price... See, I'm telling you, there's a price to be paid to become a soldier. But sometimes life will push you into that place. Now, I'm going to run through some things or I'll be on this message forever, which I might be anyway. So we've saw this. The first step to become a soldier is you lose your life. Your life is no longer your own. The whole process that the Lord has got us in from salvation on is He's trying to get us to let our life go. He who loses his life will save it. He who fights to save his life. Hello? Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. The first step is to lose your life. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you want to be a soldier? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Actually, I didn't put enough of this in there, but it says, no, let me go on, and that you are not your own. Yes. Welcome to soldierhood. You are not a soldier unless you're no longer your own, unless you realize you have no will, you have no, bottom line, you have no will. When you become a soldier, you don't have a will. They own you. Does he own you? If he doesn't own you, you're not yet a soldier. That's what it says. You're not your own. That's the first understanding of becoming a soldier. So notice how when they get off the bus, they don't wait till morning. What are they trying to say? Hey, Bubba, you no longer exist. We're going to have you a wonderful fanfare greeting when the bus shows up. And the whole goal is to let you know, we own you. You no longer have a life. Well, see, that's the gospel message. See, we're not preaching the true gospel. We're preaching the gospel of convenience. The gospel really is Jesus died on a cross. Now it's your turn. What he did, you must do. That's the gospel. It's not, pray this little prayer after me, and angels will start showing up, and feathers will start flying, and your life will be peaceful. No, it's Jesus got on the cross. And the real gospel is, instead of, see, here's what we're telling people. Come and pray this little prayer, and you can have everything you want. The true gospel is, come and pray this prayer and mean it, and you have nothing. You no longer own anything. You don't even have a life. Now, how far are we away from that? See, do you understand how we get into so much bickering in churches? Because we don't get our seed, or we don't get our whatever we don't get. Well, you don't exist. If we were truly understand this, you're not your own anymore. It's quiet. You are not your own. You lose your identity and take a new one. Next thing, a soldier must be trained. Now, we're going to get into some of this, but rigorous training. What's the training designed to reveal? Flaws. But see, what we have a tendency to do is, when we begin to start trying to do something, and when the instructor comes up and says, man, I need you to adjust this. This is not right. We get mad. But the whole point of training is to reveal where our weakness is. And then we can work on our weakness. If I look at my life over the last 20 years, I'll tell you one thing, I can sum it up. It was all about finding out what my weakness was. And it's, trust me, they were vast and still there, some of them. But the training is about revealing where your flaws are. So, then it teaches the next thing is you have to learn to be a soldier. You have to have the proper response to authority. You have to learn to be under authority without resisting. You know, I ain't ever had no arguments or fights with Ron. I've never heard Ron say, nope, ain't going to do that, which I ain't really told him to do anything anyway much, but I do. I don't forget how big he is, so... I probably wouldn't bark at him like I bark at you anyway, but do you understand that? Because he comes from a military background, I don't have the fights with him. I don't have the resistance from him. Because he thinks like a soldier. And see, that's where God's trying to bring us all to where you just do it because you're told to do it. That's what really a soldier is. You do it because you're told to do it. And when you hire people that have been in the military, you don't have much trouble out of them. Because of this reason. So you have to be under authority without resisting. You cannot have authority unless you submit to it. Rebels never receive promotion. Soldiers don't break rank. They stay in their place. They won't move. They don't break rank. They stay where they belong. Because if they don't stay where they belong, it could be somebody else's life on the line. Very, very, very important. The other thing is, it's from day one. See, I've got this video stuff memorized now. I just watched it this morning. The other thing about being a soldier is that the thing that you're being taught is to function as a team. Within 5 minutes of getting off the bus, they finally made it off the bus. They were yelled at. They were standing, getting ready to go through the door. Doors with two seals on it. And when you enter it, you're on the hallowed ground of beginning to become a Marine. And one of the first speeches they hear within the first 5 minutes is this, literally: you are no longer an individual, sir. You're part of a team. Did you hear what I said? See, we think we're coming to church as an individual. But when we get the message that when you become a part of this fellowship, you're no longer an individual, but a part of a team, we can shake the nations of the earth. That's the first thing a soldier is told, is you're no longer an individual. In other words, get out your individual thinking. Quit thinking about you. Quit thinking individually. Begin to think about the whole, because everything we do is now together. We'll eat together. We'll sleep together. We'll train together. So to be a soldier, number one, you got to get the individual mindset out of your head. We can't just do what we want to do and those kinds of things, because it affects everybody else. What if I didn't want to come to church today? And we didn't tell you anything about it. What if all elders, they all at the same time woke up this morning and thought, one word: golf. And they told no one, and you showed up in church. That's bearing witness with Kevin's spirit. I see it right now. And you showed up, you'd be going, well, where's, what are we supposed to do? I don't know. The rapture happened, and they're the only ones holy enough to go, I guess. And then you probably would probably cause repentance and revival, because you, oh God, we're sinners. To become a soldier, you have to quit thinking about you. You no longer ever, God, I wish I could get this message to the body of Christ. You don't have the right ever to think individually anymore. My toe does not think by itself. My little finger does not think by itself. It cannot do just what it wants to do apart from me causing it to do that, right? But yet we don't understand this revelation in the body of Christ. You can't think like an individual anymore. See, we just thin the church out. Nobody will come back next week. Do you understand how this is rooted in us? I can't lay in bed on Sunday because somebody's counting on me. I'll be missed if I'm not there. So you have to quit thinking like an individual. The first thing you have to do is think, and that's one of the first things they tell them. You're no longer an individual, sir. We function as a team. It's not about you. The other thing is, guess what you're going to get? I don't know if they always did this or not, but you're going to get a battle buddy. You're going to get a battle buddy. You were not intended to do this thing alone. Even the enduring hardness, you were not intended to do alone. You were intended to lock arms with somebody. I mean, think about that. You got to have a battle buddy if you're going to be a soldier. In the foxhole. When you're in the foxhole, you don't leave your buddy behind. Are you hearing me? Do you know how that mentality so permeates the body of Christ? Well, I don't care. I'm going to leave him behind. They offered me. They dangled me out of carrot. They dangled a promotion, whatever it is. I'm going to leave my buddy behind. Don't leave your buddy behind. That's the way the military thinks. That's the way a soldier thinks. I gotta take them with me. I've got to. And see, here's the thing. A true soldier does not shoot the wounded. They're not going to leave anybody laying on that battlefield. And you better hear this. Even if they're already dead. You better hear what I just said. Even there's such a union between them that even if the guy's dead, he's still not going to let his body stay out there. He will risk his own life. He will risk dying himself to get that body out of there. Hello. We need those kinds of relationships in our life. The next thing, a couple things. A soldier is mission-minded.
Yes.
Mission-minded.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Do you understand that? There's a difference in a mission-minded person.
Yes.
A mission-minded person is going to show up because they're on a mission. I've never once had Ron or Kevin just not show up. No, if they're going to be gone, they're going to tell me they're going to be gone because they're mission-minded. They understand we're on a mission. When we leave here today and go to another place next week, we're on a mission.
Amen.
And if you don't understand being mission-minded, you'll think that your part don't matter. But it does matter. It matters. If you buy into the vision and the mission. A soldier is mission-minded. Now watch it. Here's a big one. I believe this is such a DNA of this place. Soldiers understand that they must be tested and tried before receiving a title. You are not a Marine because you're on that bus. You are not a Marine because you started coming to church here. You're not a soldier because you come to church here. They're not a Marine because they're on the bus. They're not a Marine off the bus. They're not a Marine when they're in basic training. When they're going through the hell of training, they're not a Marine. You better let that sink in because I can show it to you on the video. They're not a Marine. Been going through hell for weeks. How many weeks is it? Been going through hell for 6 weeks. And after 5 weeks, here's their mindset. Oh my God, I'm bound to be one by now. Look at all I've gone through. Surely I'm one by now. No. Because a soldier understands they're not a soldier until they're not given a title or an identity as something before they have gone through the process to become it. And so when you watch the graduation from boot camp, you see the same yelling, cussing, screaming guy. I watched this with my own eyes. The guy who has treated them like they are a piece of dirt walks up to them and places in their hand something. And he's weeping himself. And I literally saw it. He said, I'm proud of you. You are a Marine. You don't get the title, baby, until you go through the gruesome process. And I believe this is one of the things that's killing the body of Christ, is we got so many people that want titles, but they don't want to go through the process.
Yeah.
And see, here's why. Two things I saw as I close. I saw the drill sergeant crying, and boy, I saw those strong, tough young men crying. You know why? Because now it means something. But if I just walked up to you when you got off the bus and said, you are a Marine, it wouldn't have meant anything to you. But by the time you go through the process, it means something. You better hear what I'm telling you. And see, that's the way it is in the body of Christ. Success began to happen here a couple years ago, continues to happen. You know what? You won't catch me being arrogant about it. No Number one, I know I don't have nothing to do with it. But number two, I know the hell that had coming here to get here. See, there's a different mindset of a soldier that's conquered something and went through that. They understand. That's why they're crying. They're crying because, oh my God, I endured. I made it through this, and now I have the identity. I could preach on this right here. We got identity issues in the church. We want the identity without the training. But you can't have the identity until you pay the price of the training. We're a wannabe. See, all those people in boot camp were wannabe soldiers. They were not soldiers until they endured the training process. Lord, we just thank you today. I thank you today, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Lord, that in this house you desire to raise up a generation of warriors, not just members, not just civilians. I hear it. I've taught this before, but there's a scripture that begins to talk about raising up warriors, and it makes the statement that there has never been any group like them, and never will there be again. Lord, I thank you that you are looking to raise up soldiers in this place, that it will be said of them, never has there been this type of soldier in the body of Christ. See, folks, this is when eyes will see, the lame will walk, and the deaf will hear. When we begin to be the army of God, who have gone through His process, who have endured His hardness, we will then qualify for His authority and qualify for His grace. And then we will do great exploits. So, Lord, I ask you to raise up from this house a people like there has never been in the earth before. I pray, Lord, that this revelation would more than I can release it, would begin to come into the church as a whole and into this body of believers, that they understand that you have called them not to be members or civilians, but soldiers in the army of the Lord. I pray for the blessing of the Lord to rest upon them. Everything they touch prosper, and the peace and rest of God be upon them, and everything they need be, every need be. And we bless you and we thank you for it, Lord. Okay, go ahead. Tony's going to pray over Taylor. She wasn't in here when we prayed earlier. We wanted to pray for you. You weren't in here, so.
Yeah. Give me a hug first. I feel that the Lord would have me say to you that I'm declaring Psalm 91 over you, that you will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You have been and you will continue to when you go to your new school, the place that you're going. And the Lord has carved out a place for you there. And He said you have a place, so you don't have to worry about what you're headed into. Also, the adversity that you have faced is building that character that I talked about earlier. And this adversity, again, as I said before, the Lord wanted me to make it personal to you. This adversity is from Him. It's not the enemy. The enemy isn't bringing this against you. This is God, okay, and what He's doing and building and forming in you. Okay, so right now, I just thank you, Lord, that Taylor, she abides in your shadow, oh God. God, I thank you that the darts of the enemy, the fiery darts of the enemy, will not harm her. I thank you, Lord, that as she walks into this new place, that she has the authority to do so. And God, that you have anointed her, and I anointed my hands earlier for this, by the way. You have anointed her, Lord Jesus, and are anointing her right now for the tasks at hand. The Lord says there are things that you're going to learn, things that you haven't known up to this point, some of the things that you've actually been taught and not been able to put into practice, the Lord says you'll be able to put certain things into practice now. There's a grace that's coming on you. There's a grace. He says, do not be fearful, because he has literally carved out a place for you. And that's the way he described it to me. And I actually saw hands whittling wood. He has carved out a place for you. So right now, I just speak to you that you are to have peace. You are going forth in peace. No fear. You're going forth in peace, being led of the Lord. And he is your rear guard. So in the name of Jesus, we send you forward to go and learn and to grow and to prosper. You are our daughter, and that isn't changing. And we're your family, Taylor. Grace and peace in Jesus' name.
Joey just came to me with something, so I'm going to throw it out there to you. Everybody's seen Joey's paintings? Everybody's seen them? Especially in the group. They're awesome. We have one hanging in our bedroom, I believe, too. Joey said that the Lord told him, so I'm just bearing that to you. To sell those things, and he has them in his car, and most of the money will go toward, which reminded me, the purchase of chairs. So if you want to buy, you got a chance to get a good picture and to help sew toward chairs. The pictures are great. Take the time to look at them. Great paintings. He's really gifted. And also, I will remind you, if you want to buy chairs, $45 a piece. Buy 100 chairs, buy 50 chairs, buy 20 chairs, buy 5 chairs. 5 would be great. 5 from everybody would be awesome. But bless you. Thank you for being here. Have a super blessed week.